Hey guys, welcome back to Cuenta Cuenta Podcast. This is Angela.
It's your girl Tessa.
What's up guys, it's Ed.
And this is KP.
I actually have a story.
Do tell.
Okay. I was staffing a, it was basically a press screening for a film premiere that, I was staffing a press screening for a film that's going to come out soon. And it's called a catch-all screening. So most of it is press, but it's also like talent's family or guest or things. It's just like for everyone who wasn't able to get to other screenings, they can go to this one. So I was just working check-in. It was pretty easy. And it was two screenings. This was on Tuesday. It was two screenings during the day. And the first one, no problem. It was fine. Went out well. The second one, the majority of it was a non-issue. But there was one issue that started at the very beginning, and it just kept going until the end. And that was an old lady. And you guys know I love old people, right? They're great, right? But this one, it's like, you know, and not even with old people, but you know when there's a customer or like someone that you're dealing with. I worked at Anthropology for like years, so you can kind of tell when you know someone's about to be a little difficult. And this lady was very nice. She arrived early. Like we had just got in and started setting up. She arrived super duper early and she's like, "Hi, I'm here for the screening." And I was like, "Okay, no worries. Like we're still setting up." And she's like, "Yeah, I know I'm here early. I'm just going to sit here if that's okay." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, do your thing." And then she kept trying to talk to us as we were setting up. She was like, "Oh, I have a name to give you. I have to give you a name." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And she's like, I was just like, "Hold on one moment. And then once we're set up, I'll attend to that." And she's like, "No problem." And then she was like, "Oh, I'm going to eat my lunch. I hope you guys don't mind." And I was like, me and the other girl were like, "We don't care." Luckily the other girl was pretty dope. She was very chill. Cause sometimes you're on this, and you're working with people who are from like different agencies or different things. And there is like an edge of like competitiveness, even though like I was there for our agency, which is the, Asian American agency on the project. She was there for the Hispanic agency on the project. So it's not direct competition, but you are kind of like competing to see who does like best, you know, in the terms of the client. So we're there. Girl's really cool. We're setting up. And this lady keeps like asking questions, stuff like that. So I'm just trying to, I'm a little bit more vocal. So I'm just trying to be like, yeah, and just like kind of answer and appease as I can. Then we finally get set up. And I'm like, "Okay, I can check you in now." And I was like, "Can I have your name?" And she's just like, "Yeah." She says her name and she's like, "But my name and I, or the other name." And I was like, "Oh, like, what is this other name?" And she was like, you don't have it in your system. And she tells me the name and I was like, "Is this person your plus one?" And she's like, yeah, my plus one. She was like, "I didn't give it to you guys yet though." And I was like, "Okay." And immediately I knew there wasn't going to be any plus ones for this because it's a very high... It's one of the highest profile movies for the studio of the year. So I knew that there wasn't going to be plus ones. I knew everyone had to be vetted. It was one of those things. But I'm like texting client or my point of contact for client. And I was like, "Hey, like just double checking. There's no plus ones for this, right? Like everyone's named on the list." And she's like, "Yep, no plus ones." And I'm like, "Ah, fuck." So I explained the situation to the client and I'm just like triple checking because this lady is saying that she has a plus one. But she's unable to provide me the email saying that she has a plus one. So, because at that point I was like, "Okay, can you show me the email that says you have a plus one?" Unable to bring that up. Instead, she shows me an email saying that she was confirmed for the screening, which is fine. She's allowed to be here. And she also like shows me, I clicked the link that's in there and I was like, "There's nothing on here that says that you get a plus one." And she's just like, I need to talk to someone. And I was just like, "Okay." So she's still pretty calm at this point, but also at this point, more people are checking in. So I start saying, I was like, "Okay, ma'am, as far as I know, there's no plus ones for the screening. However, let me see if they're able to squeeze you in." Oh, she wanted to swap her name for her guest's name because she was like, "My guest is, she's traveling really far. She's on a train. She's been like traveling for an hour now. Like, I feel bad. Like, there's no way I can't do that." And from that aspect, I see it. Like, I was like, she's trying to do something. So I put that request into the client. I was like, if she is not able to do this, would we be able to swap the seat? Like, would we be able to do something like that? And the client's getting back to me. So she's getting impatient, right? She's very go. She's going very boomer, very, very boomer. She's very impatient, and she's just getting like, she's getting more irritated because I just keep, because I keep having to say, I'm checking on it. Because at no point did I tell her like, absolutely not. Like up to this point, at no point did I say absolutely not. I said, I'm checking, we're seeing what we can do. And she was like, am I able to talk to someone? And I was like, if we're not able to get this resolved, yes, I'll request that someone come talk to you. However, let's just see what they're able to do, because we might be able to resolve it. And she's like, okay. And then she starts talking to me and the other girl, and she's like, if I go up, can I come back down? Because she was getting impatient. So she was trying, she was like, I'm gonna go up. And she didn't say this to me, she said it to the other girl, but she's like, I'm gonna go try to find someone to talk to. And the other girl's just like, the other girl before that, she asked, if I go up, can I come down? And the other girl was just like, yes. So anyway, I call the client, like the other girl's checking in people at this point. I call the client. I'm like, hey, because we're on like the base floor and she's like all the way up there, you know, like actually in the building. I'm like, hey, just so you know, she's coming up and trying to talk to you. She has been checked in. She is allowed to be here. Her guest is the one that's pending. And they're like, okay. So I was like, if she comes down, back down, I'll let you know. I'll let her know. But I'm giving you that heads up that she's going up there and she's going to try to talk to someone about it. Because we weren't going to physically stop her. Like, there's nothing we could do, you know, because she was allowed to go up at that point. So my contact was like, okay, yeah, no problem. Let me know when she comes back down. I was like, sure. And she's like, I'm still asking about this other stuff. And I was like, yeah, no problem. So as that's happening, we're checking more people in. And then a different client representative came in. I didn't say the full thing. But a different client representative came down and was like, hey, you were checking people in. And I'm like, yep, this is what we're doing. This is where we are. I explained the whole old lady situation. And she's like, okay, yeah, just flag her to me when she gets down here. It's like, no problem. So we're checking people in. The client rep is there. The client's there for like maybe 5 minutes. And then the mom and family of the biggest star of the, or one of the biggest stars of the film, like get checked in. Like I start checking her in, and then she's like, oh wait, I'll take them all up. Cause it was like six of them. And she's like, they're all here. I'll take them up. So the rep was only down there for like 5 minutes, which is fine. She had to go do her job. I get it. But I was like, I knew as soon as she left, that lady was going to come back down. Like that's how it happens. Right. So client goes back up, takes the VIP members up. Does that, she's like, and she also says, hold check-in until I get back. I'm like, okay, no problem. So we're just waiting, and there's other people who are in line, and we're just like, I'm so sorry, just like give us a few minutes. We just have to hold on something. We'll be right with you. And they're like, yeah, no problem. And then our other lady, she just comes back to the front. The older lady comes back to the front, and she's like, There was no one up there. And I was like, okay, there definitely were people up there. And she's like, no, there wasn't. And I was like, okay. And then, so she starts just like, she's just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And she's like, who's in charge here? Who's in charge here? And I was like, ma'am, there's two people in charge. I will let you know who's going to come. She's like, I want to talk to someone. I was like, there's two people in charge. I'll let you know who's going to talk to you. And I was like, I don't know who it's going to be. And they're like, give me their names. What's your name? And I was like, okay, well, my name's Tessa. I have a name tag on. And I was like, it's right here. And I'm just, so, and then at this point, so she's just getting irritated because she's like, I couldn't find anyone up there. Who am I talking to? And then at that point, once she finally starts like letting me speak, I'm like, okay. So unfortunately, because at this time I got the text that we were not allowed to bring her plus one in. So I was like, unfortunately, at this point, we were not confirmed with a plus one. And she gave me the name of the person that confirmed her. And I was like, you might want to talk to them or call them. From my understanding and the knowledge that I've been given, you are not allowed to have a plus one for this. And she's just like, I want to talk to someone. She's like, this isn't right. And she starts like actually raising her voice and yelling. And she's like, this isn't right. None of this. I don't like any of this. Literally like that. And before, I remember like earlier in the day, she was like, oh, how are you guys ladies doing? Like trying to be our friends and stuff. So I was like, okay. And she's like, this isn't right, this isn't right. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'll get someone down here to talk to you. She's like, I want to talk to someone. I want to talk to someone. I was like, okay, I'll get someone down here to talk to you. They just went back up, but they're gonna come back down and I'll let them talk. And they're like, I want their names, I want their names. I don't know who is this? And I'm just like, I don't know who's gonna come down and talk to you. Cause I also didn't want to just be giving all the names out. Like I only wanted to give the name of the actual person who was gonna talk to her. So she's like, and then that's when she's like, oh, what's your name? And I was like, my name's Tessa. And I work at my job. I tell her my job's name. And she's just like, oh, and then what's the phone number? And I was just like, that's public information. You can feel free to look that up yourself. Like, but that's my job. You know my job, you know my name. You can feel free to look that up yourself. And then she's just like, she's asked, like, what's the name? What's the name again? I tell her the name. And then she's like, can you write it down? And I say very nicely and very calmly, I'm like, and I say it and I spell it. I spell it out for her. And she's just like, in a very like mild, like, I'm like, this is my job. This is how you spell it. Just like that. Exactly. And then she's just like, I don't like what you're doing. Like, I don't like what you're doing. You know, like you're doing this and you're being too nice. And like, I just don't like what you're doing. Cause I wasn't getting angry during that whole time. Like, I wasn't giving her the satisfaction of like getting a rise out of me.
Right, you weren't reciprocating that energy.
Exactly. Exactly. I was being very professional and I was just being as accommodating as I could. And I'm very much like a kill 'em with kindness person, like just through my jobs of retail. It just works best because I am so much more personally satisfied at the end because they get angry. But so then she's like, I don't like what you're doing. And she's just like, and then she was like, okay, I'm gonna like, what's your number of the job? And at one point, I'm just like, I was like, why? Like, why do you need my job's phone number? And I was like, if you're gonna call them, like you can of course call them, but like it's not going to solve any issues today. Like it's not gonna help the situation. So that's up to you. So then finally, she's just like, oh, like I don't like what you're doing, da, 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 like, and all this stuff. And then finally, the rep, or sorry, the client comes back down, the one who took the VIP members up. Client comes back down. And basically, as soon the lady's at the front, like right in front of me. So the client comes back down. As soon as she gets behind me, I say, "Hey, this is the lady that we were talking about. She would like to speak with you." And she's like, "Okay, gotcha." So client immediately takes her to the side, like pulls her over, and starts doing that. But keep in mind, she told me to hold the line until she got back. So because she went immediately into this conversation with this old lady, I could not start the line again until she gave me the okay to start checking people in. So she's talking to ladies, she explained the stuff, and I don't know what happened upstairs, but eventually whoever the contact was just let her have the plus one. So I was like, okay, whatever. I was like, that's not my business. I just wasn't looking at the lady at that point. And then at one point, I'm still staying very professional. At one point, the client is like, oh, like who is the what's the guest name? And then I interrupt and I'm like, I have it, no problem. Like I have it. And she's like, okay, good. But she does like kind of scold, not scold, but she does very much like say, like, just so you know, to the lady, she's like, just so you know, this is the highest security film that we have all year. This would never happen. This is never going to happen again. Like that, the fact that we're getting you in. So please know that this was a major, major like exception. Like please know that this was not taken lightly. So I have a feeling what that means is they're probably not going to invite that lady back to like another screening. They were just trying to appease it, but I don't know. I don't know. Not my job. And what was interesting too is when she switched over to the client rep, she started being like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I've been bothering these girls. Like, I'm so sorry. You know, like she's probably upset because I wasn't looking at her in the eye. She was like, she's probably like upset with me and doesn't. And I was just kind of smiled and was just looking at my computer and just getting the information. And then eventually they the I was able to sneak in a word to the rep or to the client and say, hey, like, can I start the line again? And she's like, yeah, start it, start it. So then we finished checking everyone in. That lady leaves, she goes, her guest is there, it's fine, and everyone gets into the screening. Oh, and this was the funniest part too, is like while like as soon as the client took the old lady to the side and started talking to her, she made room so I could see everyone who was behind me, that whole line of people who was behind me waiting for this. And like there were two people, I don't know if they came together or what, but I just cut because they were next in line. I was like, I'm so sorry. I just kind of mouthed it out. Like, I'm so sorry for the wait. And they're like, no problem. You do like they saw like what I was having to deal with. So they had a lot of empathy, which I appreciated. So anyway, everyone went up. And then the client actually said to she turned and said to me, she was like, hey, like I'm really sorry you had to deal with that. Thank you for taking care of that and handling that. And I think she also said sorry, like, yeah, it was like a last minute change because she knew it's like basically she invalidated what I was saying to the old lady. But honestly, like I get paid either way. I don't have an ego about that kind of thing. So it was what it was. And then that was the day. And then I left. So that was my Tuesday.
You didn't
That's an
get to see the
amazing
movie?
Tuesday. Oh, I had seen it already.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Bro, I
Yeah.
hate when people like that get rewarded. I just
I
don't
know.
that shit. It's just like they're just gonna continue doing it because they keep getting what they want.
Getting away with it, yeah.
Yeah, it's
Well,
so
hopefully her
annoying.
ID, her name was taken down and she's like put on the blacklist or something.
And that's the thing is they do that with journalists a lot. Like, if they're difficult, because like that's the whole job of like PR and marketing is it's like doing this and making like the best PR and stuff with like the least amount of issues. So if there's journalists who are divas or journalists who just like don't work super well, or like just constantly bashing things, and I'm all for like freedom of the press, like I study journalism, but it's just like if you're always being like just super difficult to work with, you'll get like I don't want to say blacklisted because like we still like do keep them in reference, but you'll get flagged and you'll like the access will be very limited. So, but I that's like with all jobs though. But I will say it was that was an interesting Tuesday. I'll tell you guys the film once we start stop rolling.
Okay, word. Yeah, that sounds so annoying, dude. Sorry.
It's fine. I honestly like it's just kind of funny. Like it's just I think it was funny because she got so upset that I wasn't getting upset. Like that's when I was like, I feel validated right now. Like I felt good about that. Cause I was like, I'm being the better person. I'm being mature. I'm doing my job and doing it well and not like being mean, not getting an attitude, like not letting her have the satisfaction, you know? So
I feel that I want to say that I would be a good person and not give them lip, but I'm like 100% sure that I'm too passive and I'd just be like, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. And then just be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And just be like, oh, you have a plus one? Oh, okay. And that's it.
and that's
I'd
and
just
then
be like,
fade
oh.
into and then they're like, excuse me, sir, and be like, what? Well, what did you say? Yeah.
What are you telling me? Oh, plus one. Oh, you're not allowed to have a plus one. Oh, let me check. Let me check on that. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Not up to me. Find somebody else. That's higher than my pay grade.
But I will
Yeah.
say, like, if someone is really being, like, I think if someone is being, like, bigoted or super disrespectful, then that's when I'll, like, flip the switch because I'm like, you can't do that. She was annoying and entitled, but
She wasn't crossing that line.
she wasn't crossing that line. So I wasn't
Yeah.
gonna cross that line.
Yeah.
But there was a time when I worked at Anthropologie, there was this guy, we had self-checkout machines at Anthropologie, which was stupid
For
because
what?
like, yeah, there's
For what?
self-checkout in Chelsea Market. I don't know if they're there anymore, but we had three and you had to have someone manning it. Like you couldn't just not like also with the grocery stores, but also like Anthropologie is such like a high ticket item. Like they have such expensive stuff. Like why would you do
Yeah, why
self-checkout?
would you do that? Yeah. What are you,
Because they have like
freaking
the tags,
urban?
like
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
well, we would that's what the person was for. We had this like tag thing that we had to take the tags off with too. It was really weird, but it was cute. They always made things cute, but it was weird. But there was one guy who was getting like really pissed off. He was with I think he was with his girlfriend or something, or he was with like a significant other. And he was getting really angry because it wasn't scanning or something like that. And I get it, that's difficult. But he kept saying like I was stationed to that part, and he kept being like, this isn't working. And then he started saying, this is fucking working, this fucking machine. And I was at that point, I was like, hey, like, no, like, no cursing. Like, I'm not gonna help you if you're continuing cursing. Like, even though he wasn't saying fuck you, it was just, even though it wasn't like directed at me, I was like, no, that's not gonna, I'm not gonna help you if you're talking like that to me right now, like in this way. I was like, you can calm down. I think I literally said, hey, sir, there's absolutely no reason to curse right now. It's difficult. I'll help you, but you need to not do that. You can't behave like that. And then I walked away.
Literally, it's like, dude, what are you, a child? Like,
yeah.
You can't control your emotion enough to understand that you were having technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Sorry, I think I walked away. I walked away and then I came back later. And I was like, are you ready? Are we ready?
Are we okay now?
Are we okay now? Anyway.
Did you get your snack?
Mm-hmm. You calm down.
That's annoying. But nice on you for being the better person.
Thank you. There have been times, that's just trial and error. There's definitely been times where I have like thrown an attitude back, but I have a good story. There was a time when I was a server. Back when I was serving at this like seafood restaurant that was connected to a Hilton. In my town, it was not like super fancy. It just like happened to, it was a double tree. So it was like an express Hilton, but it was like connected to it. So it was interesting because it was very local. Like it was definitely in town. But it also like attracted a lot of like business people and people who were like at conventions, things like that. These people I think were local and they had come and there was some, they immediately, it was weird because I remember this one of them was immediately attitude, like just upset, like an upset person. The other one was very like friendly and was very like, oh yes, thank you so much, like da, 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 da. I was like, weird dynamic, but I was like, okay. So I take the order, all this stuff, this was a while ago, so I don't remember the exact details, but I remember the one person was just upset, like had an attitude the whole time, and I was just being chipper and cheerful, whatever. And then there were a couple things that were happening. I think I brought out like a side of broccoli and it was cold. And that wasn't necessarily my fault. That was like the kitchen's fault. I just put it on a tray. I didn't really feel it. They were cold. So at that point, like I put it down and then she's like, she looks at it and I guess she tries to bite it and it's cold. And she's like, get the manager. And she says it like that. And I was just like, why? I was like, oh no. I said, oh, is there a problem? Is there an issue? And she's just like, just get the manager. So I'm like, and because it was like an order, it was like, just get the manager. And I was like, okay. So I turn around, I get the manager and I was like, yo chef, can I come with you? And he was like, okay. He was like, all right. He definitely didn't want me coming, but he was like, not about to tell me no. So I was like, okay. So I go over and he starts explaining and I was like, here's the manager. So I bring him over. And she starts explaining things and she's like, this is cold. This is so like the food concerns. I understand. Like those should not have been cold. I get it. But she was like, this is this. And like in her attitude. And I was like, and I kind of just did this. I was like, my attitude. And then she was like, you know, like, yeah, your attitude, you know, like that's not going to get you anywhere in life. And I was like, I don't need to hear it. I don't need that advice from you. I think I said something like that. And then Chef eventually was like, Tessa, just go, please just leave. And I was just like, okay. And I left.
Like this attitude that I'm about to show you.
You're right.
What's crazy is I really didn't have an attitude. The only thing, the thing that I think she was upset about is like, I went, okay, like that.
Right.
I could, you know what's crazy? Is I can remember every single person who stiffed me on the tip. That's Ooh, what's crazy.
That's mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What like, I don't understand that, dude. I can never, like, okay, like, if I see the servers having a bad mm-hmm. day, and, like, they, I don't know, and it just kind of comes off in, like, things that they do where it's like, oh, everything just kind of snowballs. It's like they're having a bad day. So then they get the order wrong. So then this mm-hmm. happens and this happens and this happens. Like I've been with people that like don't want to give a tip, but I've never been the type. Oh wait, okay, I lied. There was an, okay, so this place is closed down, but the 99 Favors in Chinatown, not Chinatown, in Flushing.
Oh.
Yes.
You stiffed the tip?
Wei just gave me a look because she knows. They are racist as fuck.
Oh.
Yeah, like, they were like, we came there 3 times. So the first time I ever went there was with Wei's family. And Wei's family obviously looks very Chinese. Okay. And so, because they are. And so, and so when we go, When we went there, it was like everything was normal, everything was fine. It was just like a time going to 99 Favors. If you've never been to 99 Favors, it's a all you can eat hot pot and barbecue restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day we go for like one of my friend's birthdays, it wasn't for a friend's birthday. We were like we went out to eat for some reason, and it was like it was just a hodgepodge of races going to eat.
Okay.
I think it's worth noting that we had two Black people with us.
Okay.
I look Mexican. and the only Asian looking person is my girlfriend.
Okay, so
when we first went there, they seated us on the ground floor close to the window.
Okay, so
the place is like not exactly empty, but it's not exactly full. Like there's definitely seating available mm-hmm. in like a lot of the first floor of the restaurant. They tell mm-hmm. us to go to the top floor. Top floor has like no, like you can't see into the top floor.
Okay.
It felt like we were being secluded, but we were like, all right, fine. That's cool. It's like, whatever, you know, maybe there are other tables coming mm-hmm. and like, you know, that kind of like, whatever. Anyways, reservations, that's the word. And so then we were like, all right, cool. This is whatever. And we order like four plates of meat for like mm-hmm. one type of meat. Cause there are like eight of us.
Mm.
And so we're like, oh, we're going to eat a lot of this. They bring us like this tiny ass tray. It's like this big of like meat. And we were just like, oh, okay. Where's
the rest? More?
Like, where's the rest? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Where's the rest of our order? And they're like, oh, well, we're kind of like low on meat right now. So like, we'll bring you like a bit each time, but like, this is like all we can kind of do right now. And we're like,
and how many people were there again? Eight?
Yeah, they're like eight
okay.
of us.
Mm, okay.
And we were like, this is not enough for eight people.
Mm-hmm.
to share this plate. And they're like, oh, sorry, there's nothing we can really do.
And it's all you can eat, right?
Yeah, and it's all you can eat. And we're just like, and it wasn't close to closing. Like, it was mm-hmm. not close to closing time. And we were just like, oh, all right, I guess that's fine. And then, but there's like a party, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Not adjacent to us, but like kind of in that same room in like the corner where, and it's like their party room or whatever. So it's like closed off-ish. And we see them bring like two giant plates of meat to them. And we're just like, bro, aren't y'all like running out of meat or something apparently? How can they get like tons of meat?
Yeah.
And then like we start looking around and it's like other people are also getting big plates of meat. And we're just like, so then how come we're not getting big plates of meat? So we put in like four more orders. And like, again, it's like on these like small ass trays of like meat and whatever. And we're just like, all right, cool. So like we chalk that up to like, okay, maybe they just didn't like us, something, something, whatever, whatever. And so we go back like two more times and it's literally the same thing. And we're just like, bro, what the fuck is happening? Like,
yeah.
Like, I remember one time we like ordered and like they had us sitting there for like a good 40 minutes before they brought out anything.
Bro.
Like so long that like, that like way started just eating like the sauce.
Oh
yeah. And like, and then again, it was like six of us and they brought out a tiny tray of food and we're just like, bro, where the fuck is this food? Like, you can't say that you're low on meat again. We're literally here midday.
That's so weird.
Yeah. But thankfully they closed because they deserve to close.
Mm.
Yeah.
Take that, racist.
Mm. Yeah. So that's how I felt.
So they were like Asians only should be here?
I think so. I don't know. Cause we didn't get that when it was like Wei and her family.
Mm. At least you like tried it a couple more times before you were like, oh, okay, fuck that. You were like, you weren't just like, okay, maybe, I don't know. It was good that like, you were like, okay, we're going to test this and then see.
See, I only wanted to test it one time. But Wei is more like a, all right, well, let's see. Let's give them another chance. And I'm like.
You're like, not again.
Yeah.
I would have been like, first day, I'm shutting this place down.
Right.
And it was like,
no experiment.
Chick-fil-A would never.
Chick-fil-A would never.
I've actually like been thinking, have I ever like dealt with like people who are like super rude? But I don't think I've ever had, I've dealt with a lot of like dumb people, like who just asked me like ridiculous questions. And I was just like, this is not Popeyes, I'm sorry. But there was like this one guy, like this the homeless guy, but I don't really count the homeless guy that was rude to me.
Right, I also like a homeless guy.
Yeah, I also worked at like a vegan restaurant. And I don't know, people weren't, there was this one lady, well, she gave me like an attitude and I was just like, okay, next person online. Like I just, it just like it really hurts them that we don't like overreact. So I also worked at Macy's by most.
You did? When?
This was like my very first job in college. I worked at the Macy's in Herald Square.
I was gonna ask. Yeah. I had a feeling.
And I worked in the men's department, so it was kind of chill. Like the guys were just like, "Where are the pants?" And I'm like, "They're right behind you," and that was it. But
that was the whole interaction.
Yeah.
Did you have to make numbers at Macy's?
What do you mean, like commission?
No, not commission. Well, yeah, not commission, but like, did you have to meet like a certain number of like sales at Macy's?
No, I was like a seasonal employee, so I didn't have to.
I see.
Definitely didn't. I literally, like, if I saw a customer, I would run away. Like, I would go to the other side and preoccupy myself. I lasted like 3 days. Like, I did work during Black Friday.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's hard.
But yeah, I didn't interact with people. So. And Chick-fil-A, I feel like I didn't really deal with people who are like super, super rude. But
Oh, yeah, right.
But maybe I was the rude one.
I was like, yeah, I think people are scared of you. Yeah. Like, they're
I'm very good at ignoring people. Like, if they're talking,
that might be it too.
I would just like tune them out and then I'll just be like, okay, why are you here again?
You maybe want more you don't sauce? Remember. Maybe you remember the like, rude people because you just tune them out.
Yeah, you're like anyways, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I'll be like,
what
I'm
are you
literally...
sauce, we don't have that, sorry.
Yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, there's sauce at like,
and I don't understand why people would be rude to people who are serving them food. Like, that's just stupid too. Like, there's so many possibilities that one can do with your food. Wait, can I like change the subject, because I'm wanting to talk about this with somebody. Have you guys, I just finished it today, have you guys seen like the TikTok series of Who the Fuck Did I Marry?
No.
Wait.
Okay,
no.
But I've been seeing things about it.
I've been seeing like the, yeah. I don't really understand.
Yeah, what's going on? What's going on?
So, is it Risa Tessa? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
What is
it's
that?
Like, it's Risa Tessa.
Okay.
But basically, in a nutshell, so it's like 50 parts.
Fifty parts.
So
you went down a rabbit hole.
And she speaks for like the full 10 minutes for each part. So I'm not gonna like do it justice by like summarizing it, but basically in a nutshell, this woman, Risa Tessa, lives in Georgia. In March 2020, she meets this guy online. She meets him, she matches him on like Facebook dating.
Oh.
And then she matches with him again on Hinge.
Okay.
And on both of those profiles, he has different names. So, but it's like a variation. So like one name, one profile is like Matthew and the other one's like Matt. So it's not like,
it's not so
like
bad.
Different.
That's, okay.
Yeah. Not the worst. Yeah.
I was thinking like one's Brad and the other one's Ryan or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, I'm going to try to summarize this. She meets with him and then they go on dates and they're like vibing and like whatever. And then 2 weeks later, it's like lockdown, like Georgia's on lockdown. So because the woman, she's like in her late 30s and she's been single and she's like, I don't want to quarantine by myself. So they decide to quarantine together. So
quarantine, actually.
Okay.
The guy is like, you know what? Like, I've always been wanting to buy a house. But since like we're vibing, granted, this is like the second week that they've known each other.
Okay.
And I think like you and I are going to get married. So why don't we look for a house together? So he shows her a letter from Chase saying that you've been approved for a $700,000 mortgage. And then so he's like, we can't go over 700,000. And she's like, are you sure you can afford this? Because I cannot afford this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You have to pay for it. And he's like, yeah, because I used to do like college football. And I've like the money that I've got from college football, I've invested in it. So I have like money.
Okay.
So
you'll
basically
get money for being a college athlete.
I think it was like arena football. Do you know what that is? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I know what arena football is.
Yeah. I think it was arena football. He got money from arena football.
Wait, okay, what's okay. arena football?
Arena football is just football in like a,
an arena.
Like, is it a league or like?
Yeah. It's like its own league. It's a smaller field. So it's like the play is quicker. The game is faster.
Okay.
It's like a faster pace, but it's like the same rules as football, but just a smaller, faster paced game.
Okay.
So he said he played arena football in San Diego, and he also had an ex-wife in San Diego, and you know they got divorced because she cheated on him.
Oh no!
So he moved back to Georgia.
Okay. Red flags, all of them.
Basically, yeah, she's like saying like this is the United Nations of red flags, but she kept ignoring it. But so they look for houses, and like. She like one realtor is like, okay, so because she said it's her husband, but they're not married. Is your husband going to put an offer? And she was like, well, he said he already put an offer. And then he was like, I'm not going to put an offer. I'm not going to show proof of funds unless you approve my offer. And they're like, we cannot approve your offer if you don't show us proof of funds.
Right,
and
it's
like
a
standoff. So basically, she's like shops for houses. There's always something. There's always an excuse that like they can't get the house. And then he's like, I want to buy you a car. So they shop for cars. There's always an excuse why like he even bought her one car. And he's like, you have to take off work and like they're going to deliver the car to you.
Okay.
And she like takes off work. There's no car. And then he's always on the phone with his siblings. He has like five siblings. He has like three brothers and two sisters, and he's always on the phone with them. He's like, oh, like John said hi, and she's like, oh, say hi to John. And like, and he's like, oh, she said hi to you, heard it. And like he hangs up. He does this every single day. She gets pregnant and then she has a miscarriage.
Oh.
So she's in the hospital, and he's like, I can't be at the hospital with you because I'm about to be promoted to vice president.
No.
I have to be in this meeting, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely not. Absolutely so, not.
So fast forward, they get married. And
no!
Why?
Basically, everything about this man is a lie. He doesn't have two sisters. He has two brothers. One of them is his twin. They don't talk to him because he's been a liar ever since he's like a little boy. He's a convicted felon. He like impersonated a cop one time, and he started like searching apartments for drugs and started like patting women down. So he's a convicted felon. He has no money. He has like no money. He kept saying like he has offshore accounts. He showed her his checking accounts, but they were actually screenshots that he like Googled of like checking accounts.
No.
He obviously forged that 700,000 mortgage letter. He's not a VP. He's not even a regular employee. He's a temp. He even like showed. Oh, I'm like skipping so many things. He was saying how his grandma died of COVID, and he's like crying and all that stuff. She found out that his grandmother died in 2008. And then he even like showed her a grave. He's like, this is where my grandma is buried. And it was like, it had no relevance to him. Like that was not his grandmother. And his ex-wife didn't cheat on him. She left him. She was the one who filed for divorce in Georgia. He never left the state of Georgia. Like he never left the East Coast. And so basically like everything like he told her he did, he was not talking to anyone on the phone. He would like pretend to talk to people
what?
On the phone. So he has like no friends, like no, like it's everything. Every single thing that he did was a lie. So now people are like, do I know my partner and all that stuff? So like, show me your social security number. He made like, he had like fake numbers, like fake social security numbers. He had two ex-wives actually. Yeah, it's like all these things. So it's like, yeah. And like there were a lot of things where it's like, okay, girl, like I don't know why you would move in with someone after just knowing them for 2 weeks. And like that, honestly, like this might be controversial, but honestly, that miscarriage was kind of like a blessing, because imagine she had a child with this man.
Yeah.
So it was like this whole
That's
thing.
Wild.
Thank you for doing that for us.
Yeah,
like,
thank
now
you
we
for
know
the TLDR.
Yeah, like 50 parts, but it's really parts. Like, it's like a lot. Like as she tells the story, oh, who's that? Intruder.
Intruder alert.
Is that your house?
Intruder alert.
Intruder, I think it's alert. KP.
Oh, KP. It's KP.
Wait, I have to say one thing. For the ladies who are listening to this podcast, it just goes to show that if you are in your late 30s and you feel like you need to rush, don't rush, and also be financially independent.
Hey, KP.
What did I walk into?
So what had happened was, is
I want to be someone's baby daddy.
So
the man's name was KP.
I'm gonna have to listen to this episode to figure out what we're talking about.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, sorry guys, I just finished my homework.
Oh, you're nice. Like, yeah.
Where are you going? Why is your homework outside?
It was a project.
Like a teenager. No, okay, so my homework is outside because I can't study in my house.
Why?
Like, I have to go somewhere.
Too distracted. Like,
Yeah, like, there's a bed at my house, and if I see a bed and a desk, I'm going to choose the bed every time.
There are games on my computer, so of course I must go to a different...
Oh, yeah, like, games or homework, I'm going to choose games. So yeah, I can't study. Like, after a year being in seminary, I was just like, I developed an inability to be able to study at all at home.
That's okay. I at least you know.
Yeah. So I go to a local tea spots and then I just go there.
That's so cute.
That's nice. That's a good.
You just get tea.
Yeah, I get tea, and then so my regular order is tea and shrimp wonton soup.
Ooh, that sounds good. I love
cool.
Wonton soup.
Yeah.
I love some broth right now.
Something about that combination makes me study.
Oh.
It is. It's very cozy.
Yeah. Warms you up.
Do you know how much money I had to spend, like, for every term paper, like, for me to finish it?
Oh, yeah, because you're, like, always buying the tea and the wonton soup.
Like, for the last 2 quarters... I've had to go to tea spots to finish every term paper, and I've done like 6 of them already.
Oh God!
Shit! So like
easily
what? $500?
$20,000 a year?
Yeah, easily. Right. Easily. Right.
Like equivalent to my tuition. I was just like, "What the freak?"
So
dude.
Dumb, bro.
Pick up.
But I mean, but it's the only place I've read whole books in like one day and done report like at tea spots. Like I'd sit there. And then I'm like, okay, I got to finish this report. And then like 6 hours later, I'm like, I'm done with the report and I read an entire book. But dang. I don't know if that's the easiest way to do it, but it's the only way I found reliable.
No, I mean, that's a very common method to take yourself out of your own space so that you become uncomfortable enough to do what you're supposed to. There's a cafe in Japan where you pay people to make sure that you're staying on topic. And like continuing with your
I've seen that. Yeah.
It's
like they take your technology too.
Yeah,
like, and you have to prove that you're doing the work.
Yeah, you're doing the work. Yeah, facts. And like when you come in, like you tell them like what you need to accomplish. And then like, there's someone that comes and checks on you like every so often to be like, hey, so how's this going? And like, oh, what part are you on? And like stuff like that. And you're like not allowed to leave until you finish.
Yeah.
So have you guys ever dealt with like pathological liars in your life?
Absolutely.
I don't think I have, actually.
I will tell you 2 stories.
Tell me.
I used to work for an international company in Africa. And
okay.
A Nigerian prince?
So I was in Nigeria.
Oh,
no,
you really?
No.
Oh my gosh. I would believe you.
The Nigerian person that I worked for was the one who didn't pay me for 2 years, and then their movie got onto Netflix, and then I was like, hey, so I think Netflix would find it interesting that you're not paying your crew.
Did you
And
say
then
that?
I was just like, hey, so it's cool that you got on Netflix. Do I ask them for the money, or do you have it now?
Ooh,
I was
spicy.
like, because he was like, because the last thing he said to me was like, oh no, don't worry about you. Like, he was like, don't worry, bro. I haven't forgotten about you. Like, when I get the money, like, I'll send it, blah, blah. Just give me a moment, because, like, you know, everything's like, what is it? Everything was like coming in really quickly or whatever, like his wording was. And I was like, so yeah, has 2 years been long enough for you to get that money for me? And then,
Did you get the money?
I did.
Good, 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 good.
But it wasn't
Yeah,
a, it was like not a, enough for it to be like, bro, why did it take you 2 years to just get me like $500?
well, wait, how was it like a pathological
No,
liar?
I got distracted because of the Nigeria comment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like a film based out of Nigeria, and they were shooting like a New York portion of that film because that's what they wanted for some reason. So yeah, okay. So I was working for this company that was it was based in Florida, but it was for Africa. It was called something like the African Fund for International something something whatever. And basically what we were doing was we were creating like we were building like two mansions, 15 hospitals, and like five malls in Kenya.
Whoa,
Yeah.
okay.
And so I was on site for the building of the mansion and for part of the building of the hospital and the mall. But I left before the hospital and the mall was finished, but I was there to see the completion of the mansion. The people that I worked for, it was like this one guy who was from that area, and then it was like this like lady who was from somewhere in the States. I can't remember where she's from now because I met them in Florida. And so it started out that we were caregiving for their kids, and then all of a sudden it became like a, oh, you know, we can like train you to like be part of our company, like you can be like the executive assistant and like whatever, whatever. And like this guy's super high profile. Like obviously you see like our house is a multi-million dollar home here in Florida. And like their property was nice. It was like a gated community. We needed a key fob to get in. Like they owned another house in that gated community. So they had two houses there. Anytime like we took a trip somewhere, they would have like two or three like big Suburbans to take us. Anytime we had to fly somewhere, it was on a private jet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if we took like an airline, we would be business class or first class.
You've lived such a life.
And so we were like, oh, okay, that's okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess this all sounds cool. Like, and like whenever I bought groceries, it was always like somewhere over like $800 for groceries. And this was like twice a week. So I was just like, okay, everything's cool, checks out, I guess. Like, what does he do again? And like they were like, oh, he's just a businessman from Africa, and like he does all these things. And we're just like, okay. And he was always on the phone with somebody, always on the phone with somebody. And whenever he like spoke, it was like, I don't know, he had this like charisma about it, to where it was just like you wanted him to like you kind of thing. Like you wanted to be in his good graces. I remember one of the lessons he taught me was like, whenever someone asks you how you're doing, you like automatically, never better, never better, perfect, everything's great. And to make people think that like what you're doing is like making you super happy. And like they want the life that you want, that you have, so they want to work with you.
I see.
When they went to Africa, I was still in Florida because I had just finished my semester at in my third semester in college. And so I had to like finish the semester before I followed them. They're asking me to get things from the house so that they could have the files in Africa. I remember grabbing the files. Okay, this is bad, but I did it anyways. I kind of like looked through the little envelope because I was like, oh, what are these files? Like, this is kind of interesting. Like, and it was like the jet that they supposedly owned was rented. The house that they owned that they said was a million-dollar home was actually like only a couple thousand. And yeah. And the reason that he, because okay, so like there were a lot of times when we would go to like New York or someplace, and like he couldn't come with us, and he would claim that he had meetings and stuff elsewhere, so he couldn't come. It's because he was a fugitive that was being tried in New York, and he couldn't step foot in New York.
Wait,
and
so he like escaped? Like
And so I remember like one of the things was that like I had to get married to my ex to go be part of their thing in Africa. But because of Florida law is that you can't testify against your part,
mm-hmm.
or your spouse.
Oh,
that's not just Florida. I think that's like a general law.
Oh, true. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so like that was like part of the thing. And then like it turned out that like all of the money that they were getting from like people investing while they were in Africa was to pay for all of the things that they had rented in Florida. And so they had to like continually like circle the money around to try to pay for things because they didn't have it.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so
crazy.
All ended up being like a huge Ponzi scheme, and we had to like fake about like what was going on in our family so that we could leave.
Wow.
And then like we just like, oh, and like we were living in that spare house. Yeah. And then like we like packed everything up after we got out of Africa.
How old were you?
This was like 2013, I think 2013.
Oh, so you were like 19, 20?
Yeah, 19, 20. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy because it's like we were meeting like the high people, not high people, like people in like parliament in Africa. Like we were meeting like Senate, I don't know what they're called in Africa, but like senators in Africa, like the really, really high up positions in
like government
Kenya.
Officials.
Yeah. Literally, like he was like bringing them to the mansion. Being like, oh, see, this is what we can do. This is like the type of stuff that they have going on in America and blah, blah, blah. Cause we were building in like a small county in Kenya.
Mm.
And yeah, it was kind of crazy. It was so wild at the time though, because like they were like in our eyes, and like because like there was like a group of us, like a couple of like of caregivers were like all in this like together kind of thing. We were all just like, oh my god, like yeah, they have like, what does he do? Like we had so many questions that like could never be answered because it would just be weird to ask. And
yeah.
Then like to find out that like it was all just like a lie and like basically a big Ponzi scheme. We were just like, bro, what the hell? Like this is crazy. No wonder like the wife is so stressed out looking all the time and like all this other stuff. But yeah,
so you told them, you told the other caregivers?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because
like once we got to Africa, like they had told us that we were going to be on like a specific time schedule, and it all just like went to shit, and like it was just like a giant fire of like, oh okay, well everyone has to do something, everyone has to do this now, and like we're all just scrambling around trying to like make everything work, and like people were working for like 13, 14 hours without a break type stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Because there just weren't enough like people to be like managers, and like yeah, it was a lot.
Did you work for a Nigerian prince?
The time that I worked
almost.
Yeah, but it was crazy. It's because like so like he was on trial because like he didn't pay people.
Mm.
Oh, did you get paid?
Did I get paid? I don't think I got paid actually.
Why?
Yeah, I was like working for free, I think.
No.
But it was like, oh, I could be in Africa and learn from all these people.
Oh, so you weren't supposed to get paid.
It was like, I don't know if I was supposed to get paid. I feel like I should have gotten paid because I was his, I was his executive assistant.
Oh yeah.
So I was like driving him like everywhere. And
you definitely should have gotten paid.
And like I was sitting in on all of his conversations and like telling him when his meetings were. And
crazy.
But yeah, it was crazy because like the wife's side, it was like her brother was like an engineer for Boeing. And he was like helping us, and like he was on site all the time. And then her sister was like an engineer for something that I can't remember now, probably a civil engineer. And she was also on site, like helping everything. And then there was me, who didn't have a degree in anything, like also on site, like project managing. And I was like, bro, this
but
is crazy.
Are you sure that they actually were civil engineers though? Are you sure that wasn't part of the scheme?
You know what? It might have been, but, I would say that her side of the family was not the schemers. It was him. because he was the one whose name was like everywhere, and then they met in the States.
Oh, so she married into the scheme.
Yeah, right. And that's what we ended up thinking. I don't know whatever happened to them.
It's like mob wife, but scheme wife.
Yeah, scheme wife.
It might have been just like her family was figuring it out and was like, how can we salvage this and make it at least legitimate so they don't get in trouble? And then they were just getting more and more buried into it. Maybe. I mean, if it was legitimate at all, like being civil engineers, it was like, hey, look, we know how you want to do it. Let us help you. But then, like, maybe the more and more they actually got buried into the, maybe this is not.
I wasn't sure how like involved they were in like the finances, like the financial side of things, because like if you're looking from the outside and seeing everything that's getting done, it all looks legitimate.
It's you took a look in that folder.
Yep.
Well, that's how Ponzi schemes work, right? They're all supposed to look legitimate.
They all look legitimate until you realize that there is nothing. There's no foundation. But like, I remember like her cousin, like her younger cousin who was like around my age, was like the original executive assistant. And like, bro, when I say like, I've never met someone so like brainwashed, like, bro, he was like basically like a zombie, said yes, no to everything. And like, just like, it felt like he didn't have any of his own thoughts.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. And I was like, sad. Damn.
No thoughts, just Ponzi.
Yeah. And I remember too, like, they had like, bro, okay. I remember they had like weekly meetings with us, like one-on-one meetings with us to try to like coach us into like a specific mindset. So it's like to brainwash us into like becoming like one of their like best workers or whatever. It was crazy.
Bro, like that gives me PTSD and all like the little like, you know, those hotel meetings where you're asked to like join something,
yeah,
like an MCN,
or
like some like realty group, and I'm like,
Have you guys ever been in an MLM or whatever?
I have not.
Oh, MLM.
I have two friends from Utah, so they're kind of like the experts on multi-level marketing scheme.
MGMT.
MLM market.
MLM
multi-level.
I said MCN. That's multi-channel network.
I have a lot of like memories of people just coming to my house and trying to sell things, like knives, like cooking stuff, the Herbalife.
I did knives.
Bro.
You did the knives?
What was it called? Cutco.
Yeah, I did Cutco.
Yeah.
I did Cutco. I sold almost $30,000 worth of Cutco in a year.
Oh,
whoa. That's how crazy. Much did you make out of that 30?
$3.
40 cents.
It was fine. Like, the money was fine. But, like, by the time I made it sustainable, I really didn't want to do it anymore. I have friends that are still in it. I actually have a friend who, she's a sales manager in Anaheim.
You really
do? Do you know who else sells knives? Adam.
Hello.
All right. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This one was juicy.